Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I've got a great guest in store for you, one I'm very excited about today, and I think it will be an interest to all of you. I have Jason Wright with me, who is the founder of Intentionally Inspirational. They are a digital agency that offers sales funnel strategy, design, development, and management. The platforms that they specialize in are ActiveCampaign, ClickFunnels, and, of course, Facebook. To put all that more simply, they help companies get more leads and sales and work hard to demystify all of that lingo for their customers. They take a different approach to their content when compared to other digital marketing agencies. He has always appreciated motivational, inspirational content, so they take that approach when creating theirs as well. So it's my pleasure to welcome Jason to our show today.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so boy, right now, this is a big topic because more people than ever during this quarantine situation are finding themselves having to build their business more online than in person. So I think more people are aware of all of the things that we just mentioned more than they ever have been before.
Absolutely. I would agree with you.
Yeah. So let's just jump right in, Jason. I'm excited to hear about some of the things that you have to share, but let's jump in and fill in some of the gaps from your bio and tell us a little bit more about yourself and then about your journey and how you started your business today.
Okay. Sounds good. Several years back, you know, I was in corporate America, like a lot of people, and I was working for a privately held company, and I just kind of looked at the owners and watched what they had done, what they had built. And I thought, you know what? These guys can do this. I can do this. How hard can it be, right? So I made this case and told my wife, like, hey, I'm going to quit my job, and I think we've got enough savings for 6 months, and I'm going to build all my income back in 3 months. And to this day, I have no idea where I came up with that timeline, but it was a terrible plan because I ran out of money in 2.5 months. Nobody believed in me. Nobody supported me, and that put us in a really bad situation financially. And actually I had to have a family member step in and say, hey, I know what's going on. I think you're an idiot, but you're going to lose like your house and all your stuff. And I know you can't buy food. So I'm going to help you pay some of the essentials, but you're going to have to figure out everything else. So it was really a really rough time. We struggled horribly. Everybody made fun of me. Even my wife didn't believe in me because when she said, what are you building online? What are you doing? I was like, I don't know yet. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to build something for myself, right? I want to work from home. I don't want to drive. And it was just a really, really rough time. And I see why so many people kind of failed doing that, right? It's hard. It's the hardest thing you've ever done. But I had to go back to corporate America. And then over the course of about another 18 months or 2 years, I figured it out and was able to quit again. So there's kind of the intro story there, a little bit of a teaser built in, which I'm sure you'll ask me about. But it's I'm glad I did it now. You know, look at it, today's the COVID-19 environment now. I'm glad I did it because honestly, my day-to-day business life hasn't changed much. It's pretty much the same as it's been the last 2 years. So that's kind of how I took this route though.
Great. So one of the things I'd like to point out in there, because I think this is something that people struggle with. I know because we've interviewed thousands of people and a lot of times people don't take the leap because they're afraid of failing. And so for all intents and purposes, if people would listen to this and what you just described, that would be, you know, that would be a failure. But it really isn't. You went back to corporate America and there's nothing wrong with doing that while you took the time to figure it out. So I would say that you probably didn't have a real good game plan when you left. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I had no game plan at all. So I was going to sell these high-end neighborhood magazines. I won't tell you the company because it doesn't matter. The company's fine. But
sure.
I was going to reintroduce something into the area that I didn't fully believe in. I didn't care. I was just focused. I was so dumb. I actually went and bought a Infinity sports car the day after I quit my job. And I told my wife, it'll be fine. We'll be right back to where we were in 6 months. And again, I have no idea where I came up with that timeline. But the reality is when I made some sales, but you didn't get paid till the magazines went to print, and they never went to print. But when it got tough, when I got tons and tons of rejection and things started to not work out, I realized, I remember sitting above where I'm sitting now. So we have like a third floor kind of a bonus room area of our house. And I used to work up there. I remember sitting up there going, oh crap, I'm not gonna be able to pay the bills that like start next week. Like I have no plan. And I was like, I don't know how to tell my wife that. So maybe I should really dig in and start making sales. But I was like, I don't want to because I don't care about the magazine. Like I'm not passionate about this. Mm-hmm. It was at that moment I realized money's not enough. It's not enough of a motivator to actually do real big things. Not for me anyway.
Do you know what? It is not usually enough for anyone. It might be for a very fleeting moment. But at the end of the day, and this is what like the whole show is about, loving what you do, money is not going to be the driver in that. If you love what you do and you have the passion for whatever that is, the money will follow. And absolutely. I think almost all the entrepreneurs that we talk to would agree with that. So tell us a little bit then about your business today and how's that shaped your lifestyle today?
Yeah, so my business is intentionally inspirational, and kind of like I started with it, I didn't really know what I was going to do, but I knew it was going to change my life. So my business today is all about helping entrepreneurs and small businesses, like you mentioned, kind of take the mystery out of marketing. Marketing is one of those areas that a lot of people struggle with, but a lot of people are ashamed of it, which I don't understand. Here's the newsflash. Everybody's bad at it. Like I have yet to see the back end of somebody's, you know, whole sales funnel that's absolutely wonderfully laid out and it all works. It's not normal, right? There's a big learning curve and most entrepreneurs don't have time to do that unless they're marketers themselves. So, you know, we work with companies and help them do the basics and we can do more than the basics as well, but we really try to lay that foundation so we can kind of tie some logic into their efforts and their dollars, right? So that's what we're doing today. We're impacting people, loving what we do, spreading message of positivity, and that's what we look like.
That's awesome. So I'm curious because obviously we've worked with people too, and I think one of the hardest things for someone that has a business, I've had a successful business for 25 years, but we really took that online, so to speak, if you will, doing funnels and different things like that, probably about 8 years ago. Yep. And I can be super honest with you in saying we've probably had four or five different people that have helped us along the way or had different firms, and they all have different message. And so then you're sitting here wanting to do it right, and you think you get pieces of it right, and then there's still something broken about it, and everybody's got a different opinion. I would say as and it's hard for me being a successful business owner outside of online marketing and then having to marry those two and learn where that balance is and be present in the online marketing and then knowing exactly what you're supposed to do. It's not easy. It is not an easy road. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and part of the problem is there's so many experts and gurus that say the path is my path. Here's the truth, right? There's a lot of people that have no idea what they're talking about. So that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing is there's a lot of roads to success. So there's people that kill it with YouTube or kill it with email or kill it with Facebook groups. And really the commonality is you need to have a following that you can engage and interact with somewhere, right? The avenue can vary. So there's different paths to success, but there's definitely some foundational fundamentals that are kind of present and true, you know, among all people who are successful with that. But there is a lot of, like, marketing is, you know, one of the slimiest places online because there are so many people out there that do not have your best interest in mind, that do want to take advantage of you and convince you that your solution is the only solution.
Right. I would agree with that. Hoo-wee. So let's talk a little bit about skill sets. So everybody's got their superpowers, something that they're really good at. And then obviously then how they've applied that. So what would you identify as your superpowers, if you will, or your greatest skill sets?
Yeah, I'd say my greatest skill sets are people, right? So reading people, connecting with people, that's my strongest skill set on earth. And it serves well in all types of business and job type of roles as well. But, you know, hearing where people are, being able to speak in a language that they're using, connect with them, and build that trust and that value is where it's all at. So I'm just a big believer, whether it's your own team or your clients or even your relationships in your life, the people around you and how you treat them is kind of the foundation for everything. So that's my biggest superpower.
That's awesome. One of the things that struck me, so if you look at people that are sort of digital marketers, it's very structural, or they, you know, it's a strategic plan, if you will. And what's missing from that really is a lot of the people connection, the humanistic approach, and for sure, this inspiration, motivation piece. Like, I can't think of too many of the people that we've worked with that are super, you know, inspirational. They're very, like, detail-oriented and very, you know, coming up with a plan. And so how that's interesting to me, and how do you feel that you integrate that into your business today?
Yeah, so, you know, my approach is very different because, again, it's all based on people, and it's very based on kind of my personality. So, you know, am I perfect? No. Is anybody? No. But one thing I do well is I'm a big action taker. I'm all about imperfect action. I'm all about, if I talk about it, it's happening. Like, if I talk about building a product, like, it's going to get created, it's going to get done. So I think that, being able to do that, you know, keeps me motivated. You know, it's all about getting the little wins, you know, whatever that little win may be. Maybe it's that first dollar generated online, or maybe it's that goal of writing the book that you got done, you got it published, you know, whatever the case may be. And when people pay attention to you and they watch you and they hang out with you, whether it's online or 6 feet away, as our government tells us we should do right now, you start to inspire others, because whether you realize it or not, people are watching you online. They're watching your posts, even if they don't interact. So people are, we're always watching each other, and you really can inspire people, or really feed into their greatest fears. You kind of have the choice how you impact other people. So I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit then about, do we have an outstanding accomplishment or something that you've achieved with your new business that is meaningful for you?
Interesting question. So I could go a couple different routes. For me, it was interesting because I never set out to do marketing. I never did marketing in the corporate world. I kind of stepped backwards into it. And what I mean is I learned how to become a great architect for myself so I could get my blogs and my things out there back when I started in front of more people. And then I realized that other people were kind of weak in the same area. So then the challenge was, how do I kind of stick to the core mission of what I want to do? How do I impact people, you know, help them make more money, help them engage their folks more, and build a real business out of this that's sustainable? I don't think architecture is enough. So by being with the architecture stuff long enough, I started to really get exposed to a lot of strategy and pick that up as well. And then more recently, I've kind of opened up the teaching side of the business to teach other people, like, hey, this is how I'm doing this. And then now everything's kind of getting tied back together. So it's really fulfilling knowing that I can essentially use the same information, package it up differently for different people, and kind of build that tribe and build those relationships and impact, you know, everybody that wants to be impacted as well.
Great. So in the opposite of that, and this is where I think a lot of our listeners love to hear sort of that challenge and then how you worked through that. And so do you have a challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that?
Yeah. So the first time that I kind of added the agency side of the business, so there's kind of different sides to it. But the first time I started to build a team around the agency, I had the needs. I kind of had the retainers in place and knew what we were going to deliver to our clients. And I had the right, like, skill sets on the team, but I just couldn't make it work. And it, you know, eventually it kind of simmered down a little bit and just kind of been rebuilt since then. But I couldn't figure out for a long time, man, did I have the wrong people? Was I not clear enough? And I was going through my Asana workspace, I think 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody that doesn't work there with me anymore. And I was able to cancel her, but see all of her notes that she still had in there. It was interesting because I started to have the suspicion that this is on me, because even though I understand how to do everything, I don't have processes where other people can follow my brain and kind of see what they need to do in an organized way, right? Just like you'd have SOPs in the corporate world or something like that. And to confirm that suspicion, she actually had little notes with each client, like, ask Jason if there's a video or some kind of guide to know how to do these steps. So I was like, oh, crap. So I've been standing in my own way of growth. Because even though I know how to do everything, I'm not scalable. But if my team doesn't understand the details that I do, they're going to miss things. And it's not their fault. It's my fault. So I had this big realization that even though I've got the future, the vision for my growth and all that, because I haven't taken the time to document enough of the steps of our core stuff that I've been standing in my own way. So it's nothing like a punch in the teeth to get your attention, you know?
I do know. And I I would have to say that I think I suffer from the same thing on some levels. Like I was actually talking with one of my gals today about this. I said, I think I'm a good leader because I try to hire really smart people and I don't micromanage them and I let them do their job. But then when it comes to things falling through the cracks or things not being done, then it's like, well, then it comes back onto me. Well, you're really not a very good leader. So I think I'm being a good leader by not micromanaging people and giving them the ability to be the best. But I think what's missing a lot of times is just the processes. You know what I mean? It's here's how to follow this. And you know, there's an assumption. I'm not going to say you assume, but like I assume like that when you interview people and they have skill sets that they do know how to do that. And but maybe it's not done in it's just those it's just like when a franchise, you know, we were relating it back to when you purchase a franchise, typically we'll just use McDonald's for an example, but I know several others. I've owned franchises and so I know what you get. You get a whole manual and it's huge and it is here are the processes and do this exactly like this. It's almost like a, you know, if you follow this guide, you're going to have success. And I think when you have a small business, you don't take the time to do that or you don't see yourself in that light as much as you really need to.
Yep. And I think the problem, like for me, is it's just, it's not fun. Like it's not fun to sit down and do it. I did discover that Asana's got these templates you can create. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, when we get this type of job, because normally like in our funnel for our businesses, our service side of things, it's like, hey, we usually start with one of these three areas. So I was like, all right, if I can build a template for these first two and somebody can take it with no instruction and work all the way through it, then I've been successful in creating that. And if they get stuck, they'll tell me I'll create the solution. And then I'll just have to do it once. So it's boring to make, but the good news is if you do it once, it's there. You know what I mean? You've made that, that effort. So it's definitely something I'm going to address here personally for my business here very soon. I've started to already, but finish it, you know. So
good. Mm-hmm. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
For me, the biggest thing was always having control over my time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm the only one out there like this, but I don't like being awake before 10 a.m. It makes me unhappy. I like staying up unbelievably late. I'm just naturally wired that way. So I don't like waking up early. So having control over my time and being able to say, hey, Mondays I'm not taking calls at all, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. I used to commute 2.5 hours a day. I don't like driving and not getting paid for my time. It's not fun. It's not something I enjoy. So that's a big deal. And then the other thing is being able to pay your bills, being able to generate your own revenue to pay your own bills is a great feeling. So taking that and genuinely helping clients grow their business and have those light bulb moments and start to get confidence, unbelievably satisfying.
That's awesome. So I've been working from home for myself for over 30 years. Let's just put it that way. And I always laugh because that was my biggest thing in the very beginning is I just want to sleep in. Like, I just want to be able to sleep in. And that seemed like a silly thing. But man, that has been the case. I don't wake up before 10, but I don't do calls before 10. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I almost wake up naturally about 8:30, even when I go to bed at 1 every night, you know? And but I want to drink coffee and I want to sit and read and I want to be in my own space and I don't take client calls before 10 a.m. So it's just kind of funny, but I will take a call at 7 and I might be talking. I've got a call with a lady from Australia tonight, probably at 9. So, and I don't mind that.
Australian calls are late, aren't they?
I kind of don't mind it. It's kind of like, okay, everybody else has already gone to bed. I can do a couple hours of chatting with my Australia friends and clients. So, but it is, I think that is, I know for me, it seems like a silly, simple thing, but it's been a driving force for that whole time just to have that freedom to the way you're wired to be able to be productive in the way that you're truly wired. That's why I can't work out in the morning. People are like, you need to work out in the morning. I'm like, I work out at 5 o'clock and I have a great workout every day because I sort of transition. I have my workspace and my employees go home and then I'm like, I'll work out. And then I might sit down and I might, you know, relax a little bit. And then I might have another set of calls. So like, it's just the way you're wired. And I think finding that out and discovering that about yourself is huge.
You know, what's funny is, so how old am I? Is that funny? We have to stop and think. I am 38. So when I met my wife, I was 21 and I was in the best shape of my life back then, but I played basketball all the time. Then I would work out 5 or 6 days a week as well. And I enjoyed working out at like midnight to 1 a.m. And I know that may seem weird, but I think our point here is it's nice to be able to do what you want to do naturally. Mm-hmm. You know, I never liked fighting Monday traffic to the north side of Indianapolis, having to be there at like 8 o'clock because we already know I don't like to be up early and I don't like to drive. So you're like walking into your week like already pissed off. And it's like, can I just be happy on Monday? Can I just start with my best foot forward, please? And it's great because I was talking to a guy a few months ago and he was complaining like, man, this guy keeps making me take calls at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. And I said, well, what do you mean he makes you take calls? Well, that's when he wants to talk. I said, I got this really crazy idea. Really crazy idea. It's going to change your whole life. You ready? Tell him no. What? I can't do that. I was like, what's the worst that can happen? And he kind of thought about it. So he tried it. He's like, I've got control over my time now. I can have weekends off. I'm like, there you go.
It is funny how sometimes we just don't say no. And usually for some people, it doesn't even matter. They're like, oh, sure. What's better for you? And you're just like, why didn't I? What was wrong with me that I didn't say this earlier? So absolutely. So here's what I would love. And I know it wasn't in our pre-questions. And so if it takes you off guard a little bit, but hopefully it won't. But like if you were to give our listeners three tips on marketing, like online marketing or digital marketing, or if they want to, you know, perfect that a little bit, do you have three quick tips that you would give them that is where they would want to put their energy or focus?
Yep. So I love it. I love curveballs. Bring it on. Bring it on. So tip number one is start with the back end. So the way that I teach marketing is very simple. We've got the front end, which is what people see and interact with. We've got the back end, which is kind of the email marketing and the magic that nobody really pays attention to. And we've got the traffic. The back end is the foundation. So if you don't have an email marketing platform of some kind or you're not using it properly, start there. Because if you can't get people on your email list, and yes, there are still people out there that don't even pay attention to that, which is mind-blowing. But if you can't get people on your email list and you can't engage them and you can't track their journey, you're missing a lot of opportunity. Not only with sales, but with building those relationships as well. So start with the back end, start with the foundational stuff. This is all part of one tip, by the way. And find a way to get people onto your list if you're not doing that already. Number two, and this is something that I've been so guilty of and failed with so many, like hundreds of times, but pre-sell your offers before you create anything. So for example, hey, email list or hey, YouTube or whatever your following is, I've got an idea. I'm thinking about this. What would you think about boom, boom, boom? Who would have an interest? And you can actually find out what your audience wants, what they see value in before you spend any time creating it. So I did that last week and I actually have two people that are ready to buy something that doesn't exist yet. And that's a great way to do it because it saves you time. And then you focus your efforts and your energy on an offer for your products, your services, or both that people actually want. So that's another thing. And then finally, use your own voice in your marketing, right? A conversational approach to your copy, whether it's your social media posts or your emails or the copy on your website is powerful, right? Just like you're listening to us talk now and you're creating pictures in your mind as you hear us share stories, conversational copywriting does the same thing. It humanizes you, it makes you relatable, and makes you approachable as well. So those would be my three tips.
Those are awesome three tips. So thank you so much for that. Yes, no absolutely. Problem. So what advice would you give to others wanting to make that leap like you did? Entrepreneurs.
I've had this conversation with myself many times, and I say, if I could talk to a previous version of myself, what would I tell myself? First thing I do is punch myself in the face and tell myself to calm down. But the biggest lesson is be patient. Patience is not something I have much of. I'm not a patient person unless it comes to the outdoors or golf. When it comes to business and life, I'm not patient at all. Maybe it's because I'm a millennial, but I am the least patient person in the world. And the reason I say the patience thing is, remember, when I quit and failed corporate America the first time, I ran out of money in 2.5 months. Who did I think I was saying, here's the timeline, whatever it's going to be, and then I'm going to be successful? That's not how it works. It's not my decision. So I'm a big fan of the side hustle. Do what you want to do. And then when you get enough traction that you can step away, then it's time to jump, not just some arbitrary number on a calendar. So have patience. That's one of the biggest pieces of advice. And the other piece is don't give up on stuff too soon. I remember talking to a guy about 6 months ago and he said, man, I'm trying to build funnels for other people, but it's not working. And I said, I don't know what that means. Tell me more. He said, well, I've been trying for like 7 days to get people's attention and nobody will listen to me. I was like, seven days for like, what are we talking about? Like, that's your business? Yeah. Okay. It doesn't happen that fast. Calm down. Give it some time, you know? It kind of ties back into that patience thing.
Yep. Well, that is awesome. And I just laugh because, oh my gosh, like I said, we've had success. So I'm not going to say we've had zero success or we're still trying to figure it out. But I just constantly think we could be doing better or different, or is this the right way? And it just doesn't happen overnight. And
it really does not.
And even when you think you've got it, and you have one really great campaign and you knock it out of the park. I mean, we've had campaigns and, you know, they've done extremely well. And then all of a sudden you do the next one and it's flat. And you're just like, okay. So even because you've done something really, really well doesn't mean you're not going to knock it out of the park and duplicate that every single time. I was consulting with a company recently and they were saying, well, if he'd went out and had one really great sale with his product – and he sold $7,000 in one setting. And then he said, if you take that and you times that by this many people and you add this and you do that, then that means we could be doing, you know, like $250 million like within 6 months. And I said, yes, but you can't model that because not every sale is going to be $7,000. And he's like, well, oh, yeah, it could be. And I'm like, after 25 years, I'm here to tell you that it won't be. Like, you've got to do some testing on this. You need to do at least probably 40 of these or 50 of these so we can get an average. And then you can run your modeling. And but he didn't want to listen to that. It was like, nope, $7,000 on the first shot. That's how it's going to be. And was running all of his modeling on this one great success. So,
yeah, the problem is the market changes all the time. When I say the market, it's people. It's like, you know, today, it's beautiful in central Indiana and I want to go golfing, but yesterday I didn't want to. Why? I don't know, a variety of factors. The market's the same way. So people and the people who could be potentially receptive to things, things change all the time with the economy, with the moods, with the seasons, blah, blah, blah. The variables are endless. So that's what makes it so fun, you know, trying to figure out that human element. You know, sometimes my email rates will just drop for a couple weeks. And I'm like, what's changed? What's going on? Then all of a sudden they'll go up to new heights. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on, but hey, that's what makes it fun, right? The mystery. And I think something, and this is kind of unrelated to anything we talked about, but I think something that people tend to ignore, which seems kind of counterintuitive, is when they find success, even if it's very small, and you can do it again and again and keep having success, sometimes it becomes boring, and that's okay. I would rather have boring, predictable success with generating revenue than always trying to find the latest and greatest new tool or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Consistency is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you have any new and exciting things that you're working on that you'd like our listeners to hear about?
We're always doing new stuff. Trying to think of anything in particular. Like I said, one of the biggest focuses in the last 6 months is just exploring kind of the teaching side of this. Like, what's interesting is in my mind, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna build this for people that are wanting to be funnel builders for me. But what I found is the clients that I want to work with on the kind of done for you side of things as well end up in that side also. So one thing that's neat to play with is when you start to find success with your business, there's always other people behind you, not as far down the path, that are interested in learning from your experience. So it just creates a lot of new opportunities. But I'm just having a really good time selling offers before I build things, kind of building up the agency side of the business and building up that teaching side as well, and just meeting a lot of great people and impacting a lot of businesses as well. But yeah.
That's awesome. Well, where can our listeners find you?
Yep. Intentionallyinspirational.com is a great place, kind of a front porch for us. Or if you're on Facebook and you want to check out our free group, we've got Funnel Building for Profit. And that was a group I was telling you about where I thought people would want to be funnel builders like me. But we get entrepreneurs and people that want to do something online from all walks of life there. So it's a fun place to interact and learn together.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Jason, for being on our show today. You have shared some great pearls of wisdom. It's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it so much. So thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, and I just want to remind all of our listeners that if you subscribe to our podcast, you will never miss a single episode. So check it out. Make sure that you subscribe, and you will always hear some of the best interviews that we have to offer you in the area of working from your happy place. Make it a great day, everyone.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.